This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Can you smell it? That's a win, baby.
How about that last night? Woo-hoo-hoo!
My living room smells like cigarettes and Miller Lite.
Oh, my goodness. That's the smell of usually desperation, but in last night's case, that was a smell of success, I guess. The Royals got a run, man. And that's all they needed last night. One run!
Oh, my God. I think for the first time in a long time that I can speak for 99% of people last night that you all probably did the same exact same thing that I did. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. We call this show Fesco in the Morning and Fesco and Dusty, depending on the day of the week, on 96.5 The Fan. I want to paint you a picture, and I want to know if yours is about as accurate as mine. I think today, the analogy that we start this show off with, which I know I'm sure both of your wives have probably done this, where they go to a class with their friends and they get a sketch drawn of like a fall picture and they drink wine and everybody's painting the same picture.
Have you done this?
No.
Okay.
I'm not married. But everybody's wives or girlfriends have done this, where they go to this boutique and they drink wine and they all paint a picture of fall.
I thought that died during COVID. And
no, very much alive.
Damn it.
And everyone is painting the same scene, but it somehow comes out a little bit different, but it's still the same picture. Last night, after the delay, I'm sitting in my chair. I don't change the channel. And I'm watching that game. One, because it was 0-0, so it only took like 2 hours and 10 minutes to play that game. Loved it.
It felt forever, though, didn't it?
Did.
Like, it felt like an eternity.
But I think throughout the game, we're all checking Twitter, tweeting about the game. And after every inning, you're going, gee, many Christmas. How many times are we going to have people on base and can't knock them in? And then as the game progresses, you're starting to see in that lower right-hand graphic or on your phone, Minnesota's down 4-1. Seattle's down 6-3. Thank you, Jason Hayward. And you're still playing? Oh, yeah. Hit a big home run last night for your boys in blue.
Yeah.
And you're thinking to yourself, like, can we just get one freaking run? Just one. And everybody's on edge. At least I was. Crack the can. Take another sip. Bottom of the eighth, 0-0. Top of the ninth, 0-0. Here we go. Darren Blanco's on base. Should have been thrown out at second. Wasn't. Steals third. Not mad about it. Mad at the result. Not mad at the idea. I think there's two different things you have to be
sure. Yeah.
And then by the end of the game, everybody's on the same level. And everybody's showing each other the pain. Is this what yours looks like? Well, kind of. I'm kind of on that same level. Like, it's the same, but it's different because we all handle that game differently as if we were all the same person last night watching inning by inning by inning. Just please get a run. And then here comes the bullpen, and we're all like, all right, which guy's going to do it? Okay, here comes Bubich. Uh-huh. Double. Okay, inning over in the seventh. Weird. Reagan's only threw 89 pitches. But again, we talked to Ned about this. He's being saved.
Yeah.
Because there's a chance that now Reagan's might get game one ball.
You could get him in game one right now, right? Because you're looking at, like, the Royals could clinch as soon as Thursday, right? That's as soon as
Magic
the Royals can
four.
Clinch a playoff spot. So if they go out there and take care of business these next 2 days, the Atlanta series, well, it's going to matter because you want to get that playoff position. Like, you still want to finish tied or above Detroit so you don't have to go to Houston for the first round. of the postseason, you go to Baltimore, which I know they beat the Yankees last night, but they're a struggling team. I was listening to the beginning of the Yankee broadcast last night before the Royals started, and they were saying all this stuff about Baltimore, and I'm like, oh my God, you guys are talking exactly about the Kansas City Royals. Like, Baltimore lost a player. They haven't been able to recover. They haven't been able to hit with runners in scoring position. They're not winning baseball games and all that kind of stuff. So you look at that, and you're like, you want to go to Baltimore. So the series is going to matter in Atlanta. As long as you stay ahead or tied with the Tigers, you get to take on the Orioles instead of having to go to Houston for that first opening game series, which I was reading some tweets from people last night, like, Houston's winning the World Series. Houston's really good. They got a big win last night. Like Houston is legit. I don't want to see them in the first round. So the series is going to be imperative and important against the Braves, even if you can wrap this thing up by Thursday and get that clinching spot. But yeah, you want to preserve Cole Reagans for that game one on Tuesday in either Baltimore or potentially Houston. And so you get him out of the game, get the bullpen in there and see what they can do. And you got to find a way to scratch across a run. I'll be honest with you. After that first inning, I was depressed for the rest of the night until the 10th inning. Like, that first inning was a microcosm of what has been going on over the last week or so since September 14th. That's the first Royals win in 10 days that we saw yesterday. And you had a first inning with the bases loaded and nobody out, and they're not able to score runs. And you're like, oh my God, here we go again. They go in an entire 9 innings without scoring a run. And then because of the extra innings, which, again, a rule that I absolutely love with the ghost runner on second base, it gives you the opportunity to put the ball in play, get the movement going, and get some runs on the board, and you forced a young Washington Nationals team into making a play in a tough situation. They weren't able to do it. Bobby put the ball in play. Bobby drove in the run. Bobby gets credit for all of that, and the Royals win that game 1-0. The Minnesota Twins end up losing their game. The Mariners end up losing their game, and the Royals, I think, had the biggest win yesterday since winning the World Series in 2015. Now, there hasn't been a lot in between, you know, from a big win standpoint from the end of 2015 to where we are today. But that's, Dusty, how big a win that was for me last night. That was the biggest win since winning the World Series. And they took care of business. They got the win. Everybody else fell behind them. And for one night, the baseball gods were smiling upon us. Can they do it for two more nights? And let's clinch this thing. And Friday morning, we come in on a red Friday, and it's a blue Friday because the Royals are playoff bound, baby.
It was nice, and I think we all had the relief after this.
Gallo waits for another 3-2 from Urseg. Here it comes. And a swing and a miss, and he struck him out. Lucas Urseg strikes out Gallo. The Royals hang on. They win 1-0 in 10 innings.
And that's another guy I didn't know was still playing Major League Baseball. Joey Gallo is still in the league.
Because isn't that how it happens? Like, isn't that how... when we watch these Royals play, it's like, here comes no-name guy that you've heard in the past, and then crack of the bat, and that ball goes foul, and I think I could hear everybody exhale.
Oh, my God,
when that
yes.
happened.
Oh, my God. I was like, no!
Oh, I knew it was gone. Because there's two things I watch when I see a ball hit like that. It's the batter's reaction and the pitcher's. And Gallo immediately did the lean.
Yeah.
Right? And Irsig, or as I call it, E-Sig, because I feel like I need an E-Sig every time he comes in to pitch. He kind of gave the whole, like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
And then it, you know, you start to see it curve more and more. And then it was, you know, strike three, game over. And
next pitch, too, Urseg didn't waste a round at all, man. He just fired that next pitch up there around the eyes, and Gallo swung right through it, and he was done. And the game was over. And thank goodness, man. Thank goodness that ball went foul, because if that doesn't go foul, we're sitting here talking about, oh, my God, another loss in the 10th inning on Joey Gallo, who limped up to the plate, you know, at 40-some years old and parked one for you. Like, you've got to figure out a way to get that guy out. But they did, and they took care of business last night. And that's the type of game, Dusty, that you're going to have to win in the postseason. That was a big-time type of mental win. I know it's against the Nationals, and a lot of people don't fancy them a postseason type of team because they're not. Mm-hmm. But it's also a game that you had to find a way to win and scratch across a run. And that's what you're going to have to do next week, beginning on October 1st or whatever the day is when the playoffs start. You're going to have to find ways to scratch across runs. You're going to have to find a way to manufacture runs and hold the other team down. And for a night, the Royals played a perfect type of postseason game where your starting pitcher was nails, your bullpen was exceptional, and you got the one timely ball put in play that you needed to get that run across. And you didn't let that first inning bog you down and mentally wipe you out. It would have been really easy for this ball club to do the, oh, here we go again. Because raise your hand if you're a fan watching that game or listening on 96.5 The Fan last night. Who didn't have that feeling at the end of the top of the first inning of, oh, here we go again? And it's so hard to perform when you have that, oh, here we go again mentality. And the Royals didn't take that. They kept fighting. They kept battling. Cole Reagans kept them in the game. They made some plays on defense. They got the job taken care of. And they won a baseball game. And thank God they did, man. And we all feel better this morning. It's amazing how one win can kind of change your whole mindset on everything, right? Everybody's feeling good today because this team went out and got that win last night. And they're this close now to clinching that postseason spot.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the game had emotions from the beginning to the very, very end. And it's, you know, that's where... You know, we wanted the season to be.
You wanted
to have this sort
you
of
this.
Competitiveness, this sort of, you know, we're fighting, clawing with every inch of our fingernails type of Al Pacino speech in any given Sunday. But I think the best part about last night was how massive of a win that was. And that's what we've been waiting for, is just to prove to everybody that if you can just win that one game when everybody else falls, the Twins are literally telling you, here's October.
The Twins literally don't want it, right?
No, they're like, here you go. Yeah. Like Henry Lake tweeted at me last night after I texted in after the first inning. I said, this is one of the most brutal, absolute brutal first innings to start a game because bases loaded, nobody out, Salvador Perez at the plate, and, you know, Gurriel at the plate, line drive, double play, not Bobby's fault. That ball gets over his head.
Oh, God, no, that's a 2-0 game.
Game's over.
Right.
The way
it's
that
done.
Reagans was dealing.
Yep.
And then you get to the Freddie Fermin hit. The guy gets it between his legs with a glove, didn't even look at the ball, and you're like, all right, this is fate, 101. I'm seeing the foreshadowing of what tonight's going to be.
Right.
And then you get to the third inning, and here we go again. And it's, you know, not the greatest at bat by Freddie Fermin. But the thing that I thought was interesting and also kind of full, like, emotional circle is, and we'll have Royals manager Matt Cotrero on the show at 9 o'clock today. They asked him at the end of the game, like, you know, what was it like, you know, why? And he's like, yeah, we weren't really frustrated. We were just, we knew we were in a rut. We knew that the runs weren't coming. They knew it was, you know, a weird situation. I mean, they went 27 innings without scoring a run.
Yeah, they did. 9 times 3 is 27. Yeah. And then in the 28th inning, they finally scored.
And the irony of it all is that
and on the seventh day, they rested.
Yeah,
you know?
It was a lifeless offense that the only way they got a run was from a ghost runner.
Right.
And I think the other interesting part is that when you see them score that run and the dugout's reaction, it was the same as everybody's that watched the game. It was that weight off the shoulder, the air out of your lungs, the excitement that they actually have something in the run column. And then I thought the thing that was crazy about how baseball works is that we went through this entire year complaining about the bullpen. And in the biggest game of the year, your bullpen was very, very awesome.
Yeah, they stepped it up. And you mentioned the body language. I don't know if you saw Q in the handshake line last night.
Oh,
like,
sure.
That looked like a relieved individual. Like, he was, you know, when you have that sense of, like, you just sigh and you kind of just like melt, you know, and your shoulders slump down and your hands just kind of hang. That was him in that bullpen line last night. That was a relieved manager last night. And I don't blame him. I think we were all relieved last night because we know what's ahead. If you miss this opportunity for the playoffs too this year, there's zero guarantee that you're going to get back next year with this team. When you start to look at it, you had career years from Lugo and Waka and Reagans and Witt and Bobby and Vinny, and, you know, Salvi's having kind of a career year. Like, all of these guys are having career years. Probably won't happen again next year, right? Lugo may revert back to, you know, just being a pitcher. We don't know what Cole Reagans is going to do. I think he's here to stay, obviously. Bobby Witt and him are competing for Cy Young and MVP awards. Waka may walk at the end of this season. So you're getting career years out of a lot of players right now. And in baseball, as we know, it kind of all reverts back to the mean. Like Blanco getting the second base stolen last night where he should have been out, then steals third, gets thrown out. That's kind of how it works. It all kind of reverts back to the mean a little bit. So in baseball right now, when you're getting these career years from these players, you've got to take advantage of it. And last night's win was taking advantage of the career years that a Waka and a Lugo and a Singer and a Witt and a Bobby or a Vinny and a Salvi are all putting out. There's no guarantees that these guys are going to be like that next year. So you've got to pounce. You've got to capitalize. You've got to get into the postseason. And they took a major step. They can clinch on Thursday based on that win last night. Let's go, baby.
No doubt about it. We'll dive back into the Royals a little bit later on, but we're going to come back on the other side and give you a reason, number one, why Todd McShay no longer has a job. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
I'll tell you what, you get a new roof on your house, you want to have a contractor that's going to take care of business the right way. And that's what my friends over at Manning Roofing do. And you may think to yourself, Bob, why is Manning better than everybody else? Well, I'll just tell you why they're better than everybody else, because they are a true general contractor. They can take care of everything that you're going to need from your roof. Think about it. The hailstorm comes through, right? Big hail down in Oklahoma City last night. Major size hail. What if that was here and it damaged your roof and you needed a new roof on your house? You're probably going to need new windows at some point because maybe some of that hail broke the windows or the siding or the gutters. Manning Roofing can handle all of that because as a true general contractor, they do all the work. You don't have to worry about getting multiple bids from other companies to do the work that Manning can do for you. That's why they're a general contractor. That's why GC is in their name. And Manning has done thousands of jobs here in Kansas City, and they've never once been rejected by the insurance company. They know how to take care of all of that to help you get your claim through. So if you're looking for that new roof, whether it's 25 years old and it's time, or a storm came through like us, call my friends over at Manning Roofing. They did an amazing job for us. You can find them at manninggc.com or at 816-448-8208. Manning is my one-stop shop for roofs, gutters, siding, and windows. The choice is simple. It's Manning Roofing.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey with you as well on 96.5 The Fan. You can all breathe. You can relax. Well, you got two games up on Minnesota, two and a half on Seattle.
Yeah.
And they own the tiebreaker over the Detroit Tigers.
Right. So at least finish as good or better than the Tigers.
That's
and
right.
You can avoid the Astros in the first round of the postseason. If the Tigers finish with a better record than the Royals, then it is on to Houston. And I don't know that I want to see the Houston Astros. I'd rather see Baltimore Orioles in the first round of the postseason. But getting in is all that matters. And we'll worry about matchups when we get there. And we'll take care of all that as the days get closer and closer to the postseason. But we got closer. The Royals can clinch as soon as Thursday, which is tomorrow, so they can clinch as soon as tomorrow. I'm more worried about Seattle than I am Minnesota. I don't think Minnesota's along for this world. You're fighting for a playoff spot. You got the Miami Marlins, and the manager basically just quit last week, and he's still with the team, and they beat your ass last night. That Minnesota team right now, I think they're as done as dinner, so you can move on from the Twins. The Seattle Mariners are the ones that, are kind of just lurking, but I'm not that concerned about them because the Royals have the ball in their court right now. Score a couple of more runs tonight, and you win another game. And then we're talking about tomorrow, getting ready to clinch tomorrow night. And that's exciting, guys.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, if you want some reference to the last time the Royals lost seven in a row. Last time they lost seven in a row, they won five of their next six.
That's good. Yeah,
so
right.
There's one.
Yep.
And they've got five to go.
That's right. Let's go.
Should win four of the next five, and they should be playoff bound. Somebody asked on the text line earlier, how can they clinch by Thursday? Well, very simple. They have a four-game magic number lead over the Twins. They win today. The Twins lose tonight.
Magic number's two.
Boom. They win Thursday at 12:10. The Twins lose Thursday. Clinch.
Done.
And Friday's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, Mac. For those who don't
know,
Mac will be gone the next 2 days.
Right.
James will be in town. Mac is going to go do something that's going to piss me off, but either way.
How are we supposed to, if the Royals clinch Thursday, that's bigger than Red Friday going into a Chargers
game.
That's
crazy.
I mean, it really is. When you think about it.
Purple Friday? I
was thinking about that driving in today. If the Royals clinch Thursday night, we're all supposed to wear red on Friday because it's Red Friday. So do you wear like a Chiefs hoodie and a Royals cap? Or are you wearing a Royals hoodie and a Chiefs cap? Like, how are you going to combine your outfits, if you will, for Red Friday if the Royals take care of business? And that's all that has to happen. They have to sweep the Nationals and the Twins have to get swept by the Marlins. And so far, we're off to a pretty good start on that. So let's hope this thing does get clinched by Thursday. Let's hope we're talking about a magic number of two at this time tomorrow or, in 14 hours or so from now, we're talking about a magic number for two. Mm. The Minnesota Twins, man. What a disgrace. Their fans should be disgusted by them. They're awful. Losing to the Marlins. What kind of low-rent organization loses to the Marlins with six games to go in the postseason race? Like, that's embarrassing for the Twins. They should cancel the rest of the season.
Okay. All right.
Lifeless organization.
Well, at least they're not toothless and winless.
Yeah, what is it? Toothless and they still are in Cincinnati, right? Yeah.
Todd McShay, kind of a bag.
This is a low blow, I think.
Yeah, so
this is personal.
This is where now I think, and I didn't think that we would get, I should have known, but personal life and taking all right, here you go.
So I don't understand this.
And maybe it's a political thing. Maybe it's like the NFL, and maybe I'm going to wind up getting a phone call from the league offices.
They don't know who
Taylor Swift. I don't know. But like when you're staring at something so obvious, why? Like Chris Collinsworth is honest to God, my favorite analyst out there to watch. Most respected analyst, I think, in football for anyone who has half a brain.
Wow.
And for like
Tom Brady,
every show I watch, every pregame show, halftime show, postgame show, weekday show, every broadcast I watch for the last few weeks, it's like, are we not allowed to say that he's out of shape, that he's been partying all offseason? He's been jet setting around with the most famous person probably in the entire world, that he's drinking on, you know, going to the U.S. Open, and he's got cocktails in it. Like,
I don't know, but if he, all right, but look,
stop.
Know there's a difference between having a drink at the U.S. Open and then thinking that it's just because of, I don't know that.
No, I know that. But right. What I do know is I want you to take a picture from preseason 2022 and then take a picture preseason 2024. They're barely the same human being, Ryan. And everyone's like, we got to get the ball. Why isn't he part of the offense? The defense is double. The coverage is this. Here's the thing. Bottom line with Kelsey. The coverage and the respect he gets is the same. The athlete is not. Now, is he going to work himself into shape during the season? Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's an unbelievable competitor. He's one of the best to ever do it. And he still finds a way to make a play or two here and there and shows up in some clutch moments. But he's not the same guy right now. Look at him. Just look at his face.
I'm looking at his face right now, and I've got a 22 pickup, and I've got a 24 pickup. I don't know. I mean, every picture's different. I remember Derek Jeter showed up one year. It looked like he weighed 275 pounds. It was just a bad angle.
I'm just saying. There's no debating that his body type is different. He's not in the same shape. He's not the same. Like, I don't see the same explosiveness. I see him wearing down a little bit in games. It's okay. He'll work himself back into shape. It's not the first guy ever who's not like quite in the elite shape that he was. And now like you're sitting here and you're defending him too. Is there some kind of like message I'm not getting from the league that you're not allowed to say he's not in the same shape? He's not able to produce at the highest level right now. And he'll probably work himself back into shape by week 8, 9, 10 this season. Are we not allowed to say that?
Look, it's not. You can say that.
So we're fat shaming Travis Kelce.
That's what
McShay's doing.
It's a little bit of that. But what I'm more concerned with is that you're accusing him of drinking all off season long. Like that. That's where I have a problem with it. Like you can say, yeah, Travis Kelce's 35 years old. He's 35 years old. We all get old. I'm sure if you compared most people to where they were 2 years ago to where they are now, it's probably not the same. People age, right? People get older. In sports, people get old. It happens overnight. Nobody ever wants to admit that. Is that what's going on with Travis Kelce? I don't know if that's what's going on with Travis Kelce, but I know Father Time is undefeated. But it doesn't mean that you get on there for 2 minutes and 42 seconds and basically slander Travis Kelce with information that you don't have because you saw a guy enjoying himself at the U.S. Open. You sound like a Neanderthal caveman, Todd McShay, and you should probably go back to your cave and look at your own playbook because that's exactly what you sounded like there. Like, you sound like get in your playbook guy. Like this guy's not allowed to have a life outside of football. A lot of it reeks of jealousy to me as well from Todd McShay. You're jealous that Travis Kelce does life better than you. And quite honestly, Travis Kelce pretty much does life better than all of us. But Todd McShay right there, that sounded like a guy who was jealous, maybe got burned by Travis Kelce for an interview that he wanted, or maybe Todd McShay during the draft stuff came out and said Kelce wasn't going to be any good, and now he's mad and he wants to be the I told you so guy. But this guy's got a decade career, and he's doing life better than you, Todd. And to take those personal shots at Travis Kelce, I just find to be a very low blow and sit there and say, because he was partying at the U.S. Open, he doesn't care about himself and doesn't care about playing the game. I challenge you to get your ass here to Kansas City and say it to Travis Kelce's face and see what happens.
I just don't understand that this is where we're at. I mean, it looked to me it's lazy research, you know, no sort of, you know, videotape, which I know McShay has nothing better to do than to probably sit there and watch the All 22 and maybe see the coverage of Kelce, or maybe see like how he's running his routes or what he's doing. And in fact, he's just looking at his gut and saying, yeah, he's not what he was 2 years ago. I'm not what I was 2 years ago. Todd McShay, You're not who you were 2 years ago. The fact is, we can all agree that Kelce's had a slow start, a historical slow start to his career. No shame in me admitting that. My only thing that I'm saying is that the guy is older. The league is probably finally tired and sick to their stomach of letting Patrick Mahomes pick apart defenses with 87. And the other thing is, they haven't needed him.
They haven't.
He has, what, 6 catches for 69 yards,
nice.
0 touchdowns, but they're 3-0, and Rushy Rice is the number 2 wide receiver in the NFL right now, according to yards, and number 1 according to yards after catch.
Yeah.
Sorry. Todd McShay, look, man, I don't care if you want to go into the analytics of things or you want to look at a statistical thing, but if your take and lazy take that it is the fact that he's hanging out with his girlfriend and having drinks at the U.S. Open and doing all of that sort of thing. Patrick Mahomes having drinks at the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes hasn't looked great in his first 3 games. Why are you not shaming him?
Right, exactly.
It seems like
Patrick has adopted the dad bod thing, right? Yeah. He's talked about that. Like, where's your stuff about Patrick or anybody, right? Like,
and I think McShay's just jealous because when he was the general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders, Travis Kelce had 4 catches.
Oh, he wasn't the GM. It was Mayock was the GM. McShay, not good enough to be the general manager of any team, right? He's not even good enough to work at ESPN anymore.
But that's the thing is, I just don't understand the fact that, like, that's where you're going. And I understand that there are some individuals in this world of sports that will say egregious things to get egregious posts and reclicks and retweets and all that sort of thing. But the fact that, like, this is where you're at, this is the research you've done, this is the homework that you put together and put the final paper together and said, yep, I'm going to turn this in and think it's official.
Right.
It's just a dumb take.
It really is.
It's a bad take. You're coming after an athlete who's 35 now, who's a 3-time Super Bowl champion, who's the greatest tight end in the history of the NFL. And the reason you don't like them is because you have some sort of vendetta against him, which whether it be he's dating the girl of your dreams, he's done things that you could only envision or imagine, mm-hmm. and now you're putting up pictures of his 22 body into his 2024 body, and you're comparing the two.
And I really like Ryan Russillo giving a lot of pushback to as well. Like, wait, hang on a second here. What are you talking about? Like, come on, man. You can't be saying this kind of stuff. It sounded like a petty high school kid who had his girlfriend stolen, basically, is what that mm-hmm. is. And with research like that Todd McShay did about why Travis Kelce is not playing well this year, that tells me why ESPN kept Mel Kiper and not him, because clearly Todd McShay does not put in the work. He's just throwing out flaming hot takes to try to get those clicks and to try to be relevant again. And we played it because it is such a slanderous comment against Travis Kelce. And I think it's going to be a comment that they do take personal, Dusty. Like, this is going to be that one where Travis Kelce's like, all right, McShay, you want to say this kind of stuff about me and the league thinks this about me? I'm on the big stage in LA this weekend. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to play my ass off and I'm going to show everybody that, you know what, Travis Kelce is still a force to be reckoned with in this league. And then what's the narrative going to be on Monday morning when Travis Kelce goes out there for a buck 18 and a couple of touchdowns and destroys the competition? Like, to me, what Todd McShay said right there is absolute garbage. And if I was Travis Kelce, I'd punch McShay in the nose for that, because that's just taking a shot at my character. And I don't think there's any reason for that.
I'm interested to see how the New Heights podcast goes today.
Yeah, that's right. Really, that's
I don't know if he's heard it yet or if he'll react to it, but you know,
if I did my job yesterday, he got it. Okay, I'll just tell you that right now. He got it yesterday.
If I'm Jason, who also has a lot more time on his hands, I'm letting Travis hear that and be like, we have to talk about this on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like Jason has to bring that up, right? Oh, yeah. And like, you bring it up in a joking manner too. Like, what'd you do to Todd McShay, man?
Or I'd say, like, I'm like, what's the matter, Trav? Did you get fat?
Yeah. Hey, McShay says you're fat, man, and you're just hanging out at the U.S. Open having drinks with your girlfriend.
Yeah, too many ding dongs, too many drinks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
He's had girlfriends his whole career, and he's enjoyed an adult beverage and partying his whole career. So
yeah,
so dumb.
I mean, it just sounds like a jealous individual who is pissed that Travis lives life better than he does. That's what it came out to me. I'm like, oh my God, you are a loser, Todd McShay.
Loser. Oh boy. Yeah. I don't know. Take the high route. And then when you score a touchdown, lift up your shirt.
It's not that's what you got to do, right? Well, how about this gut?
It's not like he's Zeke Elliott.
Like, he was Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, or Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he went and put on, you know, an extra person.
I mean, Travis, I personally think Travis looks great. He's just getting double teamed, triple teamed, and Rashi Rice has stepped up. I mean, Mark Collins, former defensive back, sat in here on Friday, they don't need him, and they don't. They're 3-0, and he's had no production, and they're sitting at 3-0 and beat three pretty good teams to start the season.
Maybe now he's finally just becoming a more blocking tight end.
Oh, yeah, that'll make people happy, right? Yeah, yeah.
That's what they wanted.
Yeah, that's exactly what they wanted. Yeah, that's why George Kittle was always better, because he blocked better and then went out into the Super Bowl and had 2 yards receiving or whatever it was. Yeah. So, yeah, how about those blocks?
Good.
Yeah. It's wild, man. Like, it's wild the way that people are trying to run down these guys right now and to try to make it look like they're doing the wrong thing because they've dominated the league for so long. Some people hate domination. I love utter domination, especially when it's our team. And that's what the Chiefs are doing. They're dominating the NFL. I saw a clip from somebody else yesterday on ESPN who just kind of put his hands up in the air and was like, we got to stop talking about competitors to the Chiefs because there are none. And I think it's gotten to that point now where people are so upset that nobody can knock off this team. We're blaming Travis Kelce having fun at the U.S. Open. We're blaming officials. We're blaming rules. Like, all of this stuff that people have tried to put in place to stop the Kansas City Chiefs just isn't working. We've had rules changes. We've had officials being blamed in all three games for the Chiefs and all this kind of stuff. People are at that point where they just don't have an answer for the greatness and the success that is the Kansas City Chiefs. So now they're just throwing, you know, wet noodles at a wall and hoping something sticks. Because that's what it sounds like to me. Like, everybody's to that point around the league going, oh my God, no matter what happens, this team finds a way to win football games. So let's tell everybody that Travis Kelce had too much fun this offseason. Let's change some rules and let's blame the refs. I mean, that's where we are with this team.
Speaking of where we are with this team, Patrick Mahomes kind of has a red curtain on the offensive line, which is something that you love to see because of how good he can be with time. I know the numbers will eventually get better for one Patrick Mahomes, but a stat that came out from the All 33 or whatever that's called. I forget what it's called.
33rd team.
High or lowest pressure rates allowed by an offensive line. The Chiefs currently sit at fifth at 26%.
That's good.
Better than I thought.
Yeah.
Right. Mahomes has been sacked 3.5 times this year.
That's once a game.
Yeah, he just had a clean slate in week three, was sacked twice by Hendrickson in week two, and then there was 1.5 from the Ravens in week one. But you look at the teams above them, the Cowboys, the Jets, the Panthers, and the Ravens. Cowboys are like 25.9. So really they're top three because the Jets are 25%. So really, like, they're a top three offensive line when it comes to pressure rates, which is a beautiful thing. Because of those people that are worried about Patrick Mahomes' gameplay so far, 5 touchdowns, 4 picks, but still second favorite odds to win the MVP because we know that it will all start to click soon.
It'll all even out.
And you keep his pressure rate low and you let him work on himself and give Travis Kelce some anger. Boys, I'm not saying it's going to happen because I haven't seen it yet, but there's an explosion in this offense upcoming because the numbers are too good and too ripe to prove that they're not.
Yep.
I look at it as like the grand finale in a fireworks show. Like, yeah, the first couple shoot-offs are, they're pretty cool. But then you start to notice that the finale's coming. You're like, oh.
Okay. I like grand finales.
And maybe week four is the week that they open up the sleeping giant.
Well, I thought it was going to be the Raiders, but I think you're right about that, Dusty. I think this is the week.
Because now, from what I'm seeing from Schefter and from other sources, is that Justin Herbert's going to do whatever he can to play.
Okay.
Without a left tackle and without a right tackle.
That's smart.
Right? Jeez. Bosa's probably not going to play, so there's going to be a little bit more, less pressure to worry about for the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Bosa's not playing. I'm stunned. I mean, Bosa's never get injured.
Right.
Picture of health.
And you think about, you know, what the Chiefs do. And I know the Chiefs can be petty. It's fun. It's a good trait to have when it comes to the NFL because of how many people like to take unnecessary, you know, digs at you.
Yeah.
But again, your offensive line has been fantastic. Maybe not fantastic. Left tackle looked better last week, but it was Wanya Morris' first, like, you know, real good game, and we'll see where it grows after that.
Yep.
But inside the middle has been good. The way that they can run the ball with Carson Steele or Isaiah Pacheco has been great. And the minute that they start getting on the same page of the regular season, which maybe it's week four, and they start to get in that groove, I'm not saying they're going to beat the Chargers, you know, 38-3, but it feels like with everything that's coming and that everything that's been, you know, it's almost to the point where they're like, enough is enough and it's time for a change.
It is. And I think once they realize that and once they look in the mirror and say it's time for a change, they're a team that can actually go out there and execute a change. They're a team that can go out there and pretty much do what they want with the football. And for a couple of weeks, you kind of played around or you just played good opponents, right? Like, Baltimore's going to be a good football team. They're always good defensively, right? They're going to be a good team. It's going to be a tough game. They were fired up. It was opening night. They're, mm-hmm. you know, a team that just got beat in the AFC championship game. They want revenge. They're playing with a little extra. Then in week two, you get your nemesis, the Cincinnati Bengals, right? They've got something to prove. They just lost to the New England Patriots. They're playing the Chiefs. They hate the Chiefs. They want to be the Chiefs. They come in here and play a good game. And then you got Atlanta on Sunday night, which is right. another team that is expected to be pretty good. They added the quarterback. They got a national stage. They got an opportunity to do something good. They played the Chiefs to a close ball game as well, because they're a good football team. The Chiefs have started off the season with three really good teams. They didn't start off with New England. They didn't start off with the Giants. They didn't start off with the Browns. They started off with three of the better teams in the NFL and went 3-0 during that stretch. That was a great three-game start to the season, and it's only going to get better from here. And I'm kind of with you. I think this may be the weekend against the Los Angeles Chargers where they just say, unleash the hounds, and let's go attack these guys, because enough is enough of the national media. And I think Todd McShay is going to be the guy that puts them over the top. And when we look back at the turning point, if you will, of the season, we're going to come back to these Todd McShay comments on Travis Kelce and go, that's what truly lit the fire under everybody in this organization.
Because really the conversation in the NFL should have as a conglomerate of media, not just us, as we've told you this already, is that the scariest thing in the world should not be if Travis Kelce is out of shape or worried about his post-NFL career. The conversation not should be, has Mahomes come down to earth with 5 touchdowns, 4 picks? The conversation ought to be that if those are your conversations, you ought to be scared as hell that they're 3-0 and they've beaten Cincinnati, Baltimore, right. Atlanta on the road.
That's exactly right.
That ought to be your conversation.
Yeah.
Because if they go to 4-0 and they've beaten their number one contender in their own division on the road, and they've beaten the number two contender in the AFC at home, Baltimore. I think Cincinnati's done.
Mm-hmm.
The two top teams in the
NFL. But when you play them, they were still a contender.
Right. Yeah. But the two top teams in the AFC are the Chiefs and Buffalo, and I think that's a clear-cut picture. Right? I think that's what it is. Buffalo is damn good, and the Chiefs are 3-0, and yet the only thing that you want to worry about is weight, partying, and if the best quarterback in the football world is still the best quarterback in the football world, yet they're 3-0, and you want to have conversations about weight, girlfriends, and footwork.
Yeah, and U.S. Open partying and things of that nature. Yeah. Come on now. That's just ridiculous. That tells you that nobody has an answer for this team, and everybody's frustrated, and it's just going to fire this organization up even more. I'm excited to watch Sunday now. Let's go. Let's go, man. Game over. Let's do this.
Speaking of drinking, weight, and football, I can't give a better segue to the next guy, Jay Binkley, who joins the show here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Jay Binkley next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Kill it. Kill it. We got better music. Kill it.
On something.
He was high in college football.
College football with Binkley. They're throwing a charm, Thompson ball, and they click. Knows college football better than his own family. College football, J.B.
Got to chow in, wearing them short shorts, mm-hmm. track style shorts.
I heard he almost played football in Nebraska.
He used to call Bobby Bowden and ask for football informational nuggets with barbecue sauce.
Jay knows more about high school football than you know about your family.
B-Dub.
Call Jay Binkley.
Call Bink.
College football with Binkley. They're throwing a child, Thompson ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football with Jay Binkley.
There you go. Damn right. Happy Wednesday, Mr. Binkley. How are you this morning?
What's going on, fellas? Good, good. Getting closer to the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. I was having a conversation with somebody last night. I go, it's late in the week already. We're starting to get ready for some football, and that means right. Binkley's coming on Wednesday. And, of course, if you want to watch us, Jay, while you're doing whatever it is, you can stream us live on YouTube, on X, on Twitch, and all that kind of stuff. Make sure, Jay, you go to YouTube and subscribe to 96.5 The Fan like everybody else. Spectre doesn't think anybody will subscribe, so we want Spite subscriptions. And then you can watch us. We're up live and running right now, so join us on the TV.
Sounds good to me, Bob. I'm there.
I want to start with Georgia, Alabama, man. That's the marquee game of the weekend, 6:30 on Saturday night. I think everybody's going to be kind of watching that one. The difference, though, this year is the loser isn't knocked out of the playoff, and I kind of like it that way.
No, they're not. There's a little bit less pressure than that. But Alabama kind of has that chip on their shoulder a little bit because, you know, people are questioning whether they're going to be good or not without Nick Saban. Of course, Nick Saban, it's Nick Saban Field now, so he's going to be a big part of what that program is. Then they go to Wisconsin, and Alabama didn't completely destroy them a few weeks ago. Georgia had a very close game against Kentucky on the road where they just won by 1 point, but the bottom line is they won. It kind of reminded me of the Chiefs, to be honest with you, that won the following day against the Bengals by 1 point. It's like good teams find a way to win, to keep winning, and great teams do it consistently. So I'm definitely looking forward to that game. And, you know, it's a battle. It's a couple Heisman hopefuls and Carson Beck at Georgia and Jalen Milroe at Alabama.
Speaking of good teams find ways to win, how about them Colorado Buffaloes on Saturday night, Bink?
You know, what people say what they want about the Colorado Buffaloes, but people are still watching them.
That's right.
And they just find a way, and that was incredible. They have a Hail Mary at the end of the game, almost 30 years to the day, that Cordell Stewart hit Michael Westbrook at the Hail Mary against Michigan. Huh. They do it twice because one was dropped, and they get the second one in. But the defense was a little bit more shaky this week than it had been going into this game last week, and they'd only given up 12 points in the second half all season because they brought in a new defensive coordinator that came from the NFL, Rob Livingston.
Yeah.
But they're a fun team to watch. And Travis Hunter is an unbelievable player. That's the best player in college football right now. His route running, what he does, 100 yards per game, and he plays defense, and he caused a fumble there in overtime to give Colorado the win. That was an exciting game. This week's going to be a great game with that versus UCF because UCF the top offense in the Big 12.
So, Jay, you talk about good teams find ways to win games. Missouri survived Vanderbilt over the weekend. That's a good team finding a way to win a game against an opponent that they didn't clearly want to play.
Yeah, and then, you know, missing three field goals in the game, Eli Drinkwitz, did something at the end of the first half he shouldn't have done. Fourth and three, they go for it, sacked, and Vanderbilt ends up getting a 57-yard field goal, and he took responsibility for that decision at the end of the game. That game shouldn't have gone to overtime. But Vanderbilt's a little bit different than they used to be. I mean, this team, you know, hit the transfer portal hard. Jerry Kill, of all people, is on the sideline for Vanderbilt as an offensive consultant. Jerry Kill, he of went everywhere, including turning around a terrible New Mexico State team to back-to-back bowl games. And that quarterback for Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia, is the former Conference USA last year player of the year at New Mexico State. Matter of fact, he went down to Auburn last year with New Mexico State, and they beat Auburn in the SEC 31-10. So that's a good quarterback. That's a decent team. It's a better team than what people are saying, so that was a good win for Missouri.
Bigly, a conversation we had yesterday, which I couldn't believe, but there are certain individuals, not going to say their names out loud, Mac Morey, that think Lance Leipold is on the hot seat. That can't be true, right?
Well, I mean, no, I don't think so. I mean, he's definitely missing his offensive coordinator from last year at Penn State. But they just find a way. I mean, 30 seconds left in the game, and they lose to West Virginia. The final 2 minutes the week before, and then a fourth quarter rally by Illinois where they took the lead with 9 minutes remaining. They just keep losing at the end of games. They very easily could be undefeated, to be honest with you. I don't think Lance Leipold will be on the hot seat at all. Turn this program around. It's the quarterback situation. Jalen Daniels is not the guy that they thought he was.
He stinks.
7 interceptions this year, totally not playing like he should be, but Lance Leipold still should be there, no problem at all.
Well, do you think this is the year, though, if it goes a little bit south and maybe they don't, you know, get to the bowl that they want, or maybe they're on the outside looking in, do you think this is the year maybe he escapes to a Florida State or a Virginia Tech or a place like that that may be hiring after the season?
He could, but I can't see one of those teams grabbing him if they do slip. Because I think, you know, the fan base is, you know, trying to sell it like, hey, man, this guy at Kansas, look, everybody came back to Kansas. Look at that backfield. They have the two best corners in the Big 12, the best running back, arguably, with Ollie Gordon and Devin Neal at Kansas, and they couldn't win. So I think that would hurt him taking a job somewhere else.
All right, so what is the do, though, if they do slip, right? Like, I don't think the games over there at Arrowhead are selling all that well, or many people even know that that's happening. What does it do, like, from a standpoint of generating money? Like, this is not a good year when you're building a new stadium to have a step back.
No, it's not. And, you know, the funding, I don't think so. You know, they still need to raise more funds, and they're doing the stadium in different phases and stuff like that. That's a disaster because people buy in when the team's winning. When they don't, they completely tune them out. Yeah, the Arrowhead experience with this team is going to be a little bit weird, even though Colorado is going to be one of the teams playing Kansas at Arrowhead that I think will help because of Deion and the recognition there. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough for people to go in their pockets. And, you know, people always say, well, the donor shouldn't have any decision on what happens to the coach. The problem is these universities call the donors for a coach's buyout. Then they call the donors again to bring in money when the coach comes. Now they're calling the donors for name, image, and likeness money so they compete with other schools. They keep going back and forth to all the different donors. It is interesting that Tennessee is going to raise their ticket prices 10%, and that money is going to nil all in itself. So we're finally starting to see, you know, that take place where, you know, these fans are having to pony up for name, image, and likeness. And now UNLV's quarterback, they're 3-0. He says, I'm going to redshirt because he's not getting the money that he was supposed to get when he went to UNLV. So we're seeing players now opt out of college football, which is crazy.
Beakley, tell me how accurate I am with your day on Saturday. You're going to start with Oklahoma State at Kansas State. You're going to then transition into Louisville at Notre Dame. And then by the time you get to the evening, you're going to have Illinois, Penn State on one TV, and you're going to have Georgia and Alabama on the other one.
Yeah, you pretty much call that dust, man, me doing that. But I'm going to mix in some UCF and Colorado about 2:30. But the Oklahoma State and Kansas State 11, I'm really looking forward to that game.
I bet you are, man. You're probably looking forward to that since Monday morning, right?
Already drinking, already eating the nachos, man.
I like it. What's on your spread for the weekend?
What's that?
What's going to be on your spread?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I haven't 100%. You know, I need to try that smokehouse chili.
Yes, you do. You need to get the smokehouse barbecue and get the chili.
Bob, come on.
You've been with that?
I said, get there. You know, I've been telling you about it for 3 weeks now, Jay.
Well, I know, and you've been telling me about it. And you always say, you had that chili. I was like, no, I haven't. You know, I need to get up there. That is probably what's going to be on the spread. I'm 100% that's.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Going to be it.
There it is.
Lots of farting Saturday night.
Boy, I've had some gas last night, and I don't even know what I ate.
All right. Well, Beakley, we'll listen to you, and we'll hear from you next week on a Wednesday, buddy.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Jay Beakley, coming up on the other side, we get into your Chiefs concerns. You got to have a conversation about it, and it's not about weight loss, I promise. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.